Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
You are very welcome. And by the grace of the living God, we have a message from the Lord for you that we titled, Stay in the Center of God's Love. Stay in the center of God's love. We all know that our God that we serve, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ himself, and the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, they are love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 16 made it clear. He said, we have known, Apostle John wrote, I have tasted God, I have walked with him, and after all these years, with my colleagues in the Lord, brothers, brethren in the Lord, we have known and believed the love that God had towards us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Powerful scripture. God is love. So when we join the church, we have joined love. We are automatically connected with love. We are impacted with love. That is the nature of the believer. Because the one that we call the Father, he himself is love. Say, God is love. He didn't say God has love. He said God is love. It changes everything. Somebody might be able to help you, but when you go to the source of help, it's called the helper. It's different. Someone might try to help, but this one, he doesn't try because his nature is love. So automatically, God does not struggle to love his children. He doesn't struggle. We human beings, we are not like that. And it is very, very clear. The love of a man is not like the love of God. A man might love you, but circumstances, situations might happen in life that a person's love can even turn to hatred. But God's nature can never be like that because there is no hatred in him. There is nothing like that. His nature, God does not know hatred because he is the opposite of hatred. He is love. So even when we are being chastised by God, it is what? Out of love. Out of love. Everything that God does, he does them. He does all in love. In love. So, it's such a wonderful and amazing assurance for the child of God to stay in the center of God's love, because you are not going to be shaken, and God is not going to be shaken by anything. Nothing shakes him, because that is his nature. There is a scripture here in Genesis 37, and let me read two verses. Verse 3 and 4. This man that we call Jacob, even God identified himself with this man, saying that I am the God of Jacob. He walked very close with Almighty God. Jacob had 12 sons. These are the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one of the sons' name is one of the tribe of Israel. That is how God identified himself with a man. This man, out of love, he did something. He loves all his children, but the Bible recorded that Jacob, whose name has been changed to be Israel by God, he said Israel loved his son Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. Watch this. Could that be possible that as parents, among all our children, there might be some of them that we love more than others? Yes, it is possible. The Bible just recorded it. He loved Joseph, and there is a reason here. Because he said that Jacob had Joseph when he was old. But not only that, the details of the readings, you're going to find out that Jacob's heart was after Rachel. And the father-in-law, Laban, deceived Jacob, whose name is also deceiver. Jacob means deceiver anyway. But he was super deceived by Laban and gave him the older daughter, that was Leah, who wasn't in the plan from the very beginning. But apparently God had Leah also in the plan. Because by the time that Jacob left the father's house, the mother's house, and said that I am going to Laban's house to get a wife, it was very clear. The parents Isaac and Rebekah told Jacob, he said, go and take one of my brother Laban's daughters. One, not two. But he was deceived. So as a result of all that, and most importantly, the wife that he loved so much, Rachel, also died. So it was all putting together. Among all the sons that he had, only two was from this loved woman, Rachel. Joseph and Benjamin. So it is recorded here that as a result of his old age son and the wife Rachel that died, sudden death, he loved Joseph more than all his brethren, all his children. Matter of fact, that is what is recorded here. All his children. And not just that. Oh, the love was explained by giving to Joseph a coat of many colors. Many color. To just, for every one of the children to see that I am not just, you can see it. I'm giving it to him. You don't have one. So verse 4 says, he said, and when his brethren, they saw that their father loved Joseph more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Obviously. This is, we have many lessons to take out of this. But the reason why I'm reading this scripture, it is because of the partiality of man. Man is a partial being. Man has favorites. Man loves one more than others. And we are seeing this partiality in our lives all the time. So we favor others. Joseph was favored by the father among the brethren. And many of us, that's probably what we are doing too. Among our children, These things we don't. Joseph's case was very expressive because the father made the coat. And they saw it and they hated him more. But that's not where we are going today. Where we are going today, we just want to highlight how man, among all his children, we love all our children, but we are partial. We are partial, even in love. But watch this. Almighty God, from the very beginning, created Adam and Eve and put these two people in a garden that he had already furnished. Everything is in there. And he did all this out of love. And matter of fact, he created them. Genesis 1:26 talks about he created them in the image of God. So God created Adam and Eve in love. Because he himself is love. In the image and in the likeness of God. We all know what happened. Satan came around in the form of a serpent in Genesis 3:5. There is a statement that is made here. Satan came and he started questioning the love of God to them. So he said to Adam and Eve, God himself, he do know that in the day that ye eat thereof, what he said that you should not be eating, that day your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What is Satan trying to do? Satan was trying simply to tell them that, you know what? The law that God gave you, it is because he doesn't love you. It's because he does not love you. He knows that if you eat from this tree, your eyes are going to be open and you will know what is good and what is evil. Man caught into this, the deception of Satan. You see, and that is the problem that we have up to date. Things happen in our lives that we question the love of God. Things are happening in our lives, and sometimes we question God's love. That is why we are giving this type of message. No matter what, you can question God's love, but that does not change God's nature, because his nature is love. Your questioning of God's love will not change the fact that no matter what, God still loves you. And that is exactly what Adam and Eve could not get hold of. And be telling Satan, that we thank you for letting us know, but we do know that our Father, he loves us so much. And it is very, very true. So many things that God are doing for us and has done for us, and we are swimming every single day in his goodness and in his love, but until something or someone comes around and start doing something or questioning, then we put in course the love of God. God's love is not in question here. God's love is not in question. And we have, this has to be settled in our minds. It has to be settled in our lives. That no matter what, whatever that happens, God loves me. And he shall turn all things unto his glory. So the problem is not about, it's not on God's side. The issue is definitely on our side. If we are not moving by the deceptions of the enemy and we stay in the center of God's love, nothing ever will move anybody. Nothing can never move you when you are assured and settled in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, that your Father loves you and he loves you so much. And there is no condition under the surface of this earth that will change him or change his love towards you. Then you are settled. If it is well, my Lord, he loves me. It is not well, God still loves me. Because then I will be able to stand before Satan and tell him, you know what? What I'm going through, I know. It seems like God does not love me. But I am going through this out of God's love, and I do know that I will reap the fruit out of this in the mighty name of Jesus. That's it. It makes your life easier. When this type of principle are installed in your life, in your heart, when your mind has come to that standstill point, it makes your life easier. You don't question God's love for your life, no matter what. Hey, he will not come too early. He will not come too late, but he will come just on time. Just on time. I am here to tell somebody that maybe someone is going through a situation. But be assured. Be assured. Your God shall come on time in the mighty name of Jesus. That is a fact. He does these things out of love. So what should we do? In Jude 21, Jude is only one chapter. So verse 21 says, he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That is settlement of heart. That is a state of unquestionable fellowship with God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, if we follow a little bit our Joseph that we started with, in Genesis 39, something happened. Genesis 39, let me read two scriptures from there, and we will add another one extra. So, in verse 7 and 8, Joseph has been through much situations because of the hatred that was produced out of the demonstration of the father's love. He ended up in slavery because the brothers sold him. But his God was with him. His God was, Joseph was a man of Old Testament with the spirit of New Testament. That guy, Joseph, loved God so much. And everywhere that he was going, the Lord was with him. So he ended up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was a general of Egyptian army who happened to be the one that bought Joseph as a slave and took him to his house to serve him. Potiphar has a very beautiful wife in that house. And when Joseph came into that house, this woman cast her eyes on Joseph. You see how the devil is going to question God's love? He comes on a different ways. The woman saw Joseph, and she just want to have Joseph as a second husband, or maybe a replacement. Nobody knows. So, the word says that it came to pass, after all the things that we have just said of what the brothers did to Joseph, that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, she cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said unto Joseph, lie with me. In other words, sleep with me. That is direct. Direct. Clear. But Joseph refused, and he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master Potiphar wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he had committed all that he had to my hand. You see, when you are a godly person, you are someone that will judge yourself. When you are a godly person, there are some things, trials and tribulations and the deception of the enemy that are constantly being thrown on your way. But what will be your reaction? What is the reason of your reaction? What is the foundation of your decisions? That is what is being questioned here. We are in a world that is the devil's world. Everything is put in place for the child of God to fall. But your standing till Christ comes depends on your understanding of the love of God to your life or to you. We saw a young girl coming to stand here. She stood here and then gave a testimony. She said that Christ loved me, and my love also to Christ. She testified this of herself. So Joseph just told the woman, he said, you know what? I'm very sorry. I can't do this. I can see the goodness of God in my life. Joseph made a statement about the husband, but Joseph indirectly was seeing how good, how much love God had bestowed over his life. He was a slave in the general of the army's house. He was the master of slaves also in that house. No matter what situation you will find yourself in, as far as you are keeping yourself in the center of God's love, God will always glorify himself in your life in the name of Jesus. The man was in that house. He said, no, I can't do this. I cannot do this. You know, if you don't have the love of God in you, the woman, she's in control of that house. General of the army, early in the morning, he is gone. Going for battle. And this one, Joseph, would have been the settled husband in that house. He was sure that he was going to take the highest seat because women need attention. This army guy, always, this one, a slave in the house. But if only Joseph accepted it, Joseph would have been in double slavery. Not only he was a slave in the house, but the woman was also going to take him as her personal slave. He was going to be slaved into sex and everything else that you can imagine. Because this one here, she cannot bring forth Joseph as a husband in the sight of everybody. So his intentions, you know, Joseph's purpose in that woman's life was only one thing: the lust of the flesh. Nothing else. But out of God's love, in Genesis 39, verse 9, he continues his statement. He said, there is none greater in this house than I, Joseph. You see that? So he was the master of all the slaves in the house. Neither had he, your husband, kept back anything from me, but only you, woman. You are the only one. Your husband had released everything in my hand. He had put me in charge of every single thing in this house. You are the only one that I am not master of. You see how the devil works? The husband was very clear as far as the commandment in that house. Don't touch my wife. Do not touch the fruit from this tree. And that is precisely where Satan will be coming from. And this time, it's not even a voice or one of the slaves that is coming to speak into Joseph's ears and saying that, hey, Joseph, since you are the master in this house, have you seen our master's wife? She's very nice. So, you know, putting something. No. This one, it was straight coming from the woman herself. The door is open. And the reason why Potiphar did this is simply because you, woman, you are his wife. So being his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? I told you. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? He didn't say and sin against Potiphar, his master. That tells you where the guy lives, where's, you know, Joseph. What was driving Joseph's life? Joseph's life was being driven by God's love in his life. He wasn't seeing that woman. He was not seeing Potiphar. Every goodness that happened to him, Joseph knew that because he was in the center of God's love. That is why. So he wasn't, struggling with any form of deception, of sin, or anything like that. He said, you know what? I know what your husband has done. And I'm telling you this just for your own knowledge, that this man did not keep anything away from me in this house except you. Except you. Because you are his wife. My integrity is in question. Not just that, but I am being regulated by love. I am being watched by love. I am living my life by love. I have come to tell somebody, no matter what is going on in your life, there is one out there greater than anything that is watching you and hearing every single decision that we make in life. Please, decide according to God's love for your life. Live your life according to the purpose of God's love for your life. Life is just once. We live only once. You deceive yourself, that's it. There is nothing like second chance. We are already living the second chance. We were dead before, and Jesus came and brought us life. And this one, it has been very clear that no one has a second chance anymore. The next time that Jesus coming, Jesus' second coming is he's coming to take us. Wisdom. How can I live and do such great wickedness and sin against my God? If you dwell in God's love, automatically, according to what Joseph said here, you will stay away from sin. You will stay away from sin. In Romans 6:14 that we have been saying all the time, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law. You are under grace. You are under grace. And I'm going to explain the reason why sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law. You are under grace. You know, it is very clear here in Hebrews 4:16. He said, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So grace is very clear. Grace is available for the time of need. You see that? That is why I said that Joseph was a man of Old Testament living with the spirit of New Testament. Grace is available for the time of need. Mercy is our everyday happenings. So we have to be compassionate on people, have mercy upon them, as God is also merciful to us in love. Not just that. If for any reason Satan will throw anything in your life to destroy you or to question God's love towards you, your integrity of dwelling in God's love or you being in the center of God's love, grace is released for you to say exactly the same thing as Joseph said to that Potiphar's wife. How can I do such great wickedness and sin against my God? That is grace. Hallelujah. That is grace. We can't get hold of grace in time of need. You don't wait until you fall before you call upon grace. You don't wait. Mercy is dangerous. You don't wait until you fall before you call. If you fall and you are calling on God, that is mercy. But by the time that you are confronted with a situation, that is the time that you need help. And that time is the time to get hold of grace of God. You cannot do it by yourself. It is only by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in you. He is the only one that you can call, because he will give you a word. He will highlight something to you to tell you that thou shalt not fornicate. Get yourself out of here. What are you doing here? This is not a situation for a child of God. Run! Run. That is how God pulled us out of the trap of the enemy. Joseph ran with all his might. He ran away. That is grace. So I pray that as people ask us, how are you? And we say, by the grace of God. By that, from now onwards, let us use grace wisely and efficiently, so that we may continue dwelling in the center of God's love. Hallelujah. Who told you that you will not make it? You will make it. The church is meant to be waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ to come for us. And he is coming. Nobody can destroy the church. Nobody. Because there is a power that protects the church. A power. The only problem we have is sin. As far as we stay in God's love and by the tools of salvation that have been given, we just saw one of them. That is grace. We will not fall in the name of Jesus. What do you think the deceptions are meant for? Deceptions are meant to destroy your life. We said it from the very beginning that we are not questioning God's love, because God himself is love. Nothing that anyone will do will change God's nature. He himself cannot change his nature anyway. He said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that is settled already. It's settled. But Satan has plans to exchange people's life by questioning God's love towards them. And people are catching it. But it is only unto one purpose: to destroy your life. To destroy your life. You are a woman, you are in your house. This place, America. I haven't seen any land that where marriages are destroyed more than this country. People get married a lot, but the rate of divorce is also amazing. It is the work of the devil. It is the work of the devil. You are a married woman. You are in your home. You are a married man. You have a home. God is a family man. You are already in the center of God's love. You are allowing the enemy to just bring a useless boy that is not, number one, he's not working. That is why he has enough time to run after you all the time. Number two, he's pretending that everything, you know, he has all that it takes. You are not ready to work out your marriage and just make sure that everything is fine. Marriage doesn't just, no, it takes time. It's a life assignment, lifetime assignment. Do not think that that guy that is coming in, he has anything better to offer you. He doesn't. He's just being used by the devil. Devil is the one that is using them. After he has no need of them, he just them let them go. And your life goes nowhere. You are just like a car that is parked in the garage. We don't need you anymore. It is the work of the devil. Now, imagine, we're going to see, you know, Joseph's future compared to the future that, you know, Potiphar's wife reserved for him. Let me tell you, the future that God has for you, There is nothing that anybody will come with in the form of deception that can grant you that type of future. Impossible. Impossible. He purposes. He knows us. He knows what he has in store for our lives. He knows where he is taking us. And he knows every, that is the wonderful part of it, is that every single plan, anything that will come on our way, God already knows. He knows. In your journey of life, anywhere that there is a trap, God knows. And we thank God he's making this journey with us. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Stay and make your homes better. Nobody is perfect. None of us. Perfection comes out of God's word. That is why as much as we read more and more, we come to cleanse ourselves and having the help of the Holy Ghost. It is well in the name of Jesus. As far as we stay with God, anything that is not glorifying God, God himself will take it away. We continue praying. It is important to highlight an area of your life that comes honesty. You have to be honest to yourself. If we get so much angry over unnecessary things, we know we have a problem. We know we have a problem. And we have to start being honest and stop pointing fingers to our husband and to our wives and to our children. Everybody has a respect, and we have to learn to respect each other. The respect is simply being submissive to each other, taking each one into consideration, so that the home shall be in peace. In peace. What a joyful thing to have God, you know, God's love in the center of a home. So Proverbs 3 and the verse is 5. The wisdom of Solomon brought forth this word. He said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. You see that in all thy ways, you acknowledge God. You know what it means? It means that, if Joseph was not led by the Spirit of God, if Joseph was not dwelling in the center of God's love, what could have gone through Joseph's mind? He was a slave. He would say, hey, this is God's doing. Praise the Lord. The woman in the house loves me. I'm not a slave anymore. I am not, my case is over. And it is very true. There will not be anything that Joseph needs in that house that the woman will not provide. Joseph will have, you know, you can imagine if God's love, if the man was not dwelling in the center of God's love, then he said that, hey, today, automatic ATM in my house. I have no need of anything. That's it. He didn't think that way. And we have a lot of people that are thinking that way. Every time the enemy comes up with something, you know, you don't know that this is exactly the bait that he's using to destroy your life. But it's because we look into these things and we start calculating, you know, how fast we are to do some projections, future projections. And I came to this country, and I came with a purpose, and this man, he's a useless man, and he's not going anywhere with me, and I don't even know, what marriage? what marriage? This is my opportunity. And the next thing you know, you are divorced. But let me tell you, you are divorcing to garage. To garage. Obviously, if a young man comes around you, what do you think that young man is doing? We have heard all kinds of situations. All kinds of situations. Please, be conscious about what God has given. Stay in the center of God's love. In your marriages, in your life. And the Lord will keep you going. As we said, that is just a matter of time. He will not come too late. He will not come too early. He will definitely come on time. On time. And everything is going to work out. Everything is going to work out. Romans 8:28. He said, all things work together for good for them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. All things. We are predestined in Christ. So God knows this. God knows this. Say, I have not seen it, ye have not heard it, neither have it entered into the heart of any man, the things that God had prepared for them that love him. Stay in the center of God's love, and all these things shall be revealed one by one. One by one. What the devil is showing you today, you don't know what God has for your life tomorrow. Please don't take it. Do not take it. Devil's will for a man is not even acceptable will. Let me say this again. Devil's will. God has someone better for you. If you come by yourself and say that, oh, Lord, please, this is my, I have been praying, and this man that I've seen, he has all the requirements that I need. God said, oh, you know what, my daughter, I have, your husband is there. But you keep pushing on God. God said, okay, go ahead, marry him. Marry him. That is the acceptable will of God. That's not the perfect will of God. It's the acceptable will of God. So you go and hit the wall. And he said, ah, Lord, you see what he has done to me? He gave me a knock. He said, God told you, he said, you, I told you. I knew that this guy would give you a knock. Now, look at what God did to Joseph when he dwelled in the center of God's love. In Genesis 41, verse 40 to 43, Joseph, when he refused, the woman forced the husband to put Joseph in prison, but his God was with him. When you are a man that dwells in God's love, you dwell in a revelation. God made a way for Joseph to be out of that prison and ended in Pharaoh's royal house. Not Potiphar's house anymore, Pharaoh's house. It's like you are talking about Obama in America, or President of America. But Pharaoh was even greater than that, because at that time, Egypt was the center of the world. That is where God ended Joseph. And he ended Joseph in glorious style. Let me tell you, God will do it when it is your time, to the extent that no one will question your integrity. God will do it in such a way that nobody will question it. By revelation, the Lord was also going to do something in the land of Egypt. Brought forth a dream to Pharaoh himself. And none of his magicians, his sorcerers, his enchanters, you name it, were able to interpret that dream. But Joseph had a glance of interpretation in the prison over there, because two workers of Pharaoh were sent into the prison where Joseph was. They had a dream. Joseph was the one that interpreted their dreams, and the dream came to pass. I have a good news for you. The revelation that you need to step up in life, God shall give it to you in the name of Jesus. Our Joseph, living in revelation by the Spirit of God, the Lord brought him on a higher level. To the extent that Pharaoh himself, when Joseph came and interpreted or did what nobody could do, the man came up and said, Joseph, now, listen to me. I am Pharaoh. From now onwards, thou shalt be over my house. You see this? Look at this. This is such a wonderful thing. Joseph was over the house of Potiphar. God had lifted him to be over the house of Pharaoh. Over the house of Pharaoh. Where the Lord God is lifting you, do not let anybody deceive you in the name of Jesus. It is done in power. The man confessed, from now onwards, you shall be over my house. And according unto thy word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thee. You see that? Highest position. The only thing that separates Pharaoh from Joseph is the throne. It's the type of chair that they sit on. Otherwise, Joseph has become Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. What would you choose? Would you like to be master over that servant house? Or you want to be master that is set as a master by the master of masters? Amen? The choice. Nobody will move an inch except you tell them. Pharaoh himself had come to the point. You see what God did? Pharaoh has been erased from the picture. He said, the only thing that separates me and you is when we sit down. And Joseph was a man of action. He said, you are the one that is going to rule my people. They will go according to what you say. So in other words, Pharaoh himself was not saying anything. Just sitting down. Who was ruling? Joseph. Joseph. They that are tormenting your life. So-called supervisor that is supervising nothing in your life. A time is coming. A time is coming. You are the one that they will receive the order from. If you don't say it, nobody will do it. That is what God is capable to do. So verse 41, he said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Joseph, you see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. That's exactly what we said. The man said it. It was like God speaking through this Pharaoh. Joseph, and from the very beginning, if one day we're going to talk about Joseph's life, this is just a portion of his life. Joseph from the very beginning had a dream that he told his father, he told his brethren, and they hated him even more. But that is exactly the fulfillment of this dream. Exactly the fulfillment of this dream. God had revealed something to you. It seems like impossible situation. But I have come to let you know that dwell in the center of God's love. Almighty God shall bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. It will come to pass. It will definitely come to pass. Joseph, you see, I have set you over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hands and arrayed him with vesture of fine linen and put a golden chain about his neck. What would you choose? Potiphar's wives, the greatest chain that probably Potiphar's wives would have offered to Joseph. I don't know, maybe silver with very little color. But this time, the ring was coming out of the hand, the finger of Pharaoh himself. What God has in store for your life? What God has in store for your life? What God has in store for your life? Where it is, you cannot imagine it. He will take you there. And they themselves will place it in your hand. Will place it in your hand. I mean, some of these things, when you watch it, could you imagine? Do you really think that when Joseph was in prison, prison is not a place that, even when he was in prison, he was still master in the prison. We will talk about it. But he never thought how far God was taking him. He never thought. Because for time's sake, I am going to stop here. We will have enough time to talk about Joseph. Let me finish reading the scripture. In verse 43, so Pharaoh made Joseph to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Amen? And I want to show you this. In Genesis 41, 46, the word says that Joseph, all these things happened to Joseph. when he was only 30 years old. Hallelujah. So all the young among us, only 30 years old, the man was ruling the world. May the Lord God bless you. May you dwell in the center of God's love. As you are impacted in that love, Almighty God, everything that God has written concerning your life, it shall all come to pass in the name of Jesus. No matter what they will do to you, it does not matter, because it is only God's love that will bring you to that expected end. In Jesus' name we have worship. Let's say hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.